My name is Kiara Bradford, and I am the engagement coordinator here at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Hi, I'm Remington Miller, and I'm a reporter at the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
And this is
Friday Frights.
A podcast where we are going to sit down here every Friday in October and talk about local legends, ghost stories, and folklore. And what we're starting here with today.
Yes, so every week we're going to sit there and I'm going to bring you a story.
And I'm going to bring you a story.
That hopefully we've never heard before. And today we get to start with something super interesting. Mm-hmm. A creature feature.
Ooh.
Also known as cryptozoology.
Now, of course, I know what cryptozoology is, but that's a five-letter word. Remy, tell us what cryptozoology is.
Of course, for the people at home. Mm-hmm. According to Merriam-Webster, so like the online dictionary, it is the study and search for animals, but like legendary ones. So I need you to think not like lion, tiger. I need you to think yeti, chupacabra, Loch Ness Monster.
All the fun stuff.
Right. The fun kind of like cryptids. And usually the study involves some sort of effort to prove these creatures actually exist. Okay. And that's kind of like the driving force behind cryptozoology.
Honestly, dream job.
And it comes up a lot when you're talking about paranormal creatures. And that leads me to the story I have for you today.
Yes, please. Remy, tell me a story.
Absolutely. So I'm going to start with like a local legend that I've heard about since like I was a kid, the Falk Monster. Have you heard of it?
Vaguely.
Today you're going to know so much about it. It's going to be your new favorite legend.
Okay, I love it. Educate me.
So, in the briefest sense, the Falk Monster, or the Beast of Boggy Creek, same entity, is Arkansas's Bigfoot, a Southern Sasquatch.
Southern Sasquatch. Oh, I like that. Southern Sasquatch.
So, he like haunts... prowls. He's been seen around the town of Falk, which is in southwestern Arkansas, mm-hmm. in Miller County, and it's like 2 hours from Little Rock and like 20 minutes from Texarkana. That's like the closest major city, and Falk has like a population in 2020 I think of around like 800.
Okay,
so kind of small. Mm-hmm. I need you to come back with me all the way to May 1971.
1971, so you tell me there's Bigfoot and there's disco all in the same year?
Yeah, it's a multifaceted year. There was a lot going on.
All right.
There was this newspaper article published about the Falk Monster. Mm. It was written by journalist Jim Powell and published in the Texarkana Gazette. So it covers the story of this 25-year-old man, Bobby Ford, who lived in Texarkana. He reported seeing this monster, and he had this encounter with his wife, Elizabeth, his brother, Don, and sister-in-law, Patricia. So four people are, like, living in this house.
Okay.
And, like, every good horror story, they had just moved to this, like, house in Falk.
Okay.
Right. So this monster is described as being about 7 foot tall, and 3 feet wide across the chest.
Ooh.
So it's big. He said, so this being Bobby Ford, mm-hmm. said that he thought it was a bear at first, but the creature was running upright and fast.
That's a freaky bear.
Even if it was a bear, I think the running on two legs at me would probably still send me running.
Yeah, I mean, fair.
And Elizabeth Ford also saw the Falk Monster. She said that she'd been sleeping in the front room of the house when she saw a curtain moving and a hand sticking in through the window. She told the Texarkana Gazette, "At first, I thought it was a bear's paw, but it didn't look like that. It had heavy hair all over and it had claws. I could see its eyes. They looked like coals of fire, real red. It didn't make any noise, except you could hear its breathing."
See, I wouldn't think creature at first. I'd probably think creeper, but like, I mean.
But like red eyes, super hairy, like hand.
I've seen that person before.
Well, at one point, Bobby and a few other people, I'm assuming like his brother Don, they shoot at the Falk Monster, trying to get it to leave them alone, hoping like to kill it. To my understanding, the monster visited their house like several times.
Okay, then that's valid, I guess.
And at one point, they called the constable, and the constable came to check things out, and he ended up just giving them another weapon and a brighter light.
I might be too in central Arkansas, but we got constables.
At least in 1971 we did.
Okay.
So after he drops off this light, Bobby is still out looking, trying to protect like his home, his family. He ends up hearing the women in the house screaming, and he goes to check on them, and he ends up getting attacked by the Fak monster.
How's that?
So according to the Texarkana Gazette article, Ford said, "I was walking the rungs of a ladder to get up to the porch when the thing grabbed me. I felt a hairy arm come over my shoulder, and the next thing I knew, we were on the ground. The only thing I could think about was to get out of there."
I have notes. What is, he was walking up the rungs of a ladder to get to the porch? Are they living in a treehouse?
I wish I could find a photo of the house.
He was supposed to be doing his account, but he's over here spitting poetry. Okay. And so he just ran away?
Well, he feels this arm come over his shoulder. Mm-hmm. They fall to the ground. And I'm guessing, that fall, disoriented both of them enough that he, jumps up, right? He ends up running through the front door. And he was taken to St. Michael Hospital, where he was treated for scratches and mild shock. Hey, and then was later released.
Like a cartoon.
There was a Bobby Ford-shaped hole in that door.
Wait, what happened to the women, though?
He didn't care about them, I guess, once he got attacked. It's like an everything-for-yourself kind of situation,
I guess.
After all that action, what was found at the Ford house was several strange tracks that appeared to be left by something with three toes and several scratch marks on the front porch that appeared to have been made by something with three claws. The constable, Ernest Wellraven, okay, so the same guy who brought them the light, he told the Texarkana Gazette that several years before that incident, residents of the Jonesville community near Falk reported seeing a hairy monster in the area. And the article ends with a quote from Bobby Ford. "I've had it here. I'm going back to Ashdown."
Valid.
And I'm not sure I've heard of a more valid reason for wanting to move.
That's smart. That's how you don't end up in a horror movie.
Exactly.
You've seen the freaky thing, you're like, I'm out.
So, regardless of whether or not, you believe in monsters or Bigfoot or anything like that, this 1971 incident was serious enough that involved the constable, so law enforcement, and it made the local paper, so something definitely happened. And this was the incident that made the Falk monster famous. So I was looking on the Encyclopedia of Arkansas, and a follow-up story written by Powell is actually where the creature got the name, the Falk monster, which it's pretty on the nose how they decided that.
I wonder.
So while the encounter with the Ford family got a lot of attention, reported sightings of the Falk monster date back as far as 1946.
Okay.
When a resident reported to the Miller County Sheriff, Leslie Greer, that she had seen a strange creature near her home. The Ford incident was, again, this big deal that in 1972, so only a year after this incident happened, it was made into a movie.
Okay.
The Legend of Boggy Creek, which shared the story to an even larger audience. It was directed by Charles B. Pierce. He also wrote, directed, and produced, I think, Bootleggers and The Town That Dreaded Sundown are some of his other, pretty popular films. And when he married his wife and settled down and had children in Texarkana, he started an advertising business and apparently was acting. The Encyclopedia of Arkansas said that in 1971, the Falk monster was reportedly seen in the Boggy Creek area and accused of attacking dogs and livestock.
Not the puppies.
Right. So while still working in advertising, Pierce created the semi-documentary film originally titled Tracking the Falk Monster, that was later renamed into The Legend of Boggy Creek. It is it is estimated that the cost of Pierce to make this film was only about $165,000.
Only.
The movie was filmed in Falk, and to my understanding, based on what I've read, it's a pseudo-documentary thriller about the creature, about the town, and it stars some of the eyewitnesses and residents of Falk. And it grossed about $22 million in ticket sales, mostly from drive-in theaters.
How did I miss this? We need to do a screening.
Arkansas.com. Yeah. And, you know, it's even crazier because Daniel Myrick, who, if you don't know, that's the director of the 1999 hit movie, The Blair Witch Project.
Nice.
It was filmed in the same semi-documentary style, and he cited Pierce's Boggy Creek as an influence.
Ooh, okay. Okay, screening. Love it. I want to see it.
Right. And so in 1985, Pierce also wrote, produced, and directed and starred in Boggy Creek 2, and the legend continues. It's said to be more of like a generic horror film, but okay. still centered on the Falk monster. And from a few of the things I saw online, it is not as popular or loved as The Legend of Boggy Creek.
A sequel never is.
And I've not watched either movie, but that sounds like something spooky we could do mm-hmm. this month. Mm-hmm. But if movies aren't your thing, I've got more options.
Okay.
There are a couple of books about the Falk monster that talk about like his sightings near Falk. There's this author, Lyle Blackburn. He wrote the Boggy Creek Casebook, which covers Falk monster encounters from 1908 to present, as well as Beyond Boggy Creek in Search of the Southern Sasquatch, and he also wrote The Beast of Boggy Creek, the true story of the Falk monster. He even co-produced and narrated a 2016 documentary called Boggy Creek Monster, which explores the history of the Falk monster and the famed, like, 1972 horror movie, like the first one, The Beast of Boggy Creek. So,
see, this is the cryptozoology career that I want.
So there are more recent things that you could like read or watch, learn more about the Falk monster. But if that isn't recent enough for you, at the end of this month, on the 25th and 26th, Blackburn is actually set to be a guest speaker at the Arkansas Paranormal Expo, and he is set to be talking about the Falk monster.
Might go check it out.
So, you know, and I've also done a little bit of research. If you're looking for spooky things to do and maybe you're busy during the expo, there's also a Monster Mart in Falk.
They really are playing this up. They're hamming yeah. this.
Well, hold on. The store's website, they have a museum dedicated to the legendary Boggy Creek monster.
Okay, we're on brand. We're on theme.
They also sell souvenirs and other things you might need.
Love it.
And I also do believe, like, Falk might even have its own, like, Falk Monster Festival. This year, it was, like, in April.
I love this for them. I love a good theme.
So, not only does this, like, a big enough, like, lore for them to kind of go through and, like, not only this, like, get into papers in 1971, they've, like, kept with it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, so much so that I actually have a story that was submitted to us about Falk.
Oh, like a reader story?
Yes.
Okay, cool. Tell me.
So, this story comes from Hunter Ramey, who is a resident of Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramey says, "I'm from Falk. All my life I have heard legends of this creature, fearing to venture too deep into the woods, and in my earlier years, as my family lived deep in the country, outside of Falk. The Falk monster is just the talk of the town. There are other things out there. Falk is not a safe place, especially at night. You never know what you'll see on a foggy night drive back from Texarkana, or driving through the oil fields and dirt roads just to get a late night snack. Sometimes your eyes will leave you unsure of what you've seen, and you will continually ponder it."
What do you mean? What do you mean there's other things out there? Yeah,
can you imagine like coming back from getting like a late night dinner and you see the Falk monster?
No.
The red eyes like peeking out from you, like so it like hits your like headlights a little bit.
No, I don't want to.
Yeah, I mean it does kind of
you're
seem
gonna
like
see
he
me
might
like Bobby Ford,
like a Kiara Bradford
he's just
hole.
Running through a hole.
Yeah, no. It sounds absolutely horrifying, and I was so surprised that Arkansas had its own like Bigfoot.
Yeah, that's really
so. That's
a little nice story right there.
That's
I like
the Falk
it.
Monster. Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll see if my story also compares to that legend. So I'm going to tell you a story now.
I'm so ready. Okay.
Okay. Have you ever heard of the White River Monster?
No, I haven't actually.
Well, I'm going to tell you about him. So the White River Monster is one of Arkansas's premier mysteries.
Kind of boosting himself up. Okay.
I know. So it all started, well, since 1915, there have been sightings of the White River Monster along the White River in, well, nearby Newport, Jackson County, that area. So it has appeared several times and has now become local legend. So sightings of Whitey.
Who? Is that the monster?
That is what they've deemed the creature's name to be, Whitey. They were creative.
Okay, I'm getting the location monster, Falcon monster, White River monster, and they said White River monster? That's Whitey. Too long. Whitey. We need Whitey.
Whitey. Okay. So sightings of Whitey began in 1915, but were sporadic until 1937. So in 1937, on July 1st, Bramlett Bateman was the owner of a plantation near the river where he saw the monster. He reported it as having gray skin and being as wide as a car and as long as three cars.
Oh.
Yeah, it's big.
That's, yeah.
It big.
Is this like a water?
Some reports are saying that it's in the water. Some have reported tracks along the bank. So okay, it's like,
I was thinking this was like kind of like a Sasquatch. I was still in Sasquatch mode. It's like river monster. Okay.
River monster. Think about that. So yeah, early accounts describe it as a large aquatic creature with grayish skin, somewhere between 12 and 30 feet in length.
Oh my God. That's a pretty like variety.
But there's a lot of discrepancies on its size. I'm sure there's a lot of discrepancies on the Falcon Monster's size.
Don't you bring Whitey's like discredit over to the Falcon Monster.
So yeah, like I said, Bramlett Bateman in 1937 first publicized his encounter with the White River Monster. He claimed that he saw something in the water that had the skin of an elephant, 4 or 5 feet wide by 12 feet long, with the face of a catfish. So
wow, I'm like struggling to picture that exactly in my head. Okay.
Like you're like okay, I'm sure we'll have a picture, but like yeah, it's a little weird to think about a creature that size.
Sounds like one of those like mythical things. Okay, but anyway, so he's in the White River Monster.
Yeah, the local newspaper picked up the story, and it wasn't long before a frenzy picked up with people trying to see this White River Monster themselves.
Yeah, for sure.
Lots of visitors came hoping to catch the White River Monster too.
The thing that could be 12 to 30 feet?
Yeah. People were trying to catch it.
Nets.
Really big nets. Like, yeah, that became a thing.
They had belief in those nets.
Yeah. Nets and divers were going in searching for it, trying to find this cat. Find Whitey.
Now, but what if you had been a diver at that time and you had found
Whitey?
What if
you had, found something that was 12 feet long?
You're starting at the bottom. What if, like, you're 30 feet long is like the possibility.
But sadly, Whitey was never captured.
That sounds like maybe a good thing.
And then they kind of stopped trying to capture it at one point because of a lack of money and materials mostly. And then also, 1971 was apparently a big year.
For cryptids, it seems.
But
cryptozoology,
For cryptozoology. But in 1971, the sightings, because they kind of like were, again, sporadic after 1937.
Whitey's elusive.
Yeah, mysterious. But in 1971, the sightings started again when someone reported seeing a gray creature with a horn sticking out of it. Like I said, the accounts on what this thing looked like, not the same. And other witnesses describe it having a spiny back that's 20 feet long. Later, they added that they saw a trail of toes, like I mentioned before, like having like prints in the White River area, like on the bank.
Whitey gets more horrifying the more you describe it.
People also reported crushed vegetation and broken trees. I don't know what Whitey is up to, but they were assumed to be Whitey's tracks, out of all things.
All right. I guess I don't have a better explanation.
Yeah, I guess. The sightings and the popularity of Whitey got to the point where in 1973, the Arkansas General Assembly passed State Resolution 23. There is a law now. There is a law in Arkansas about the White River Monster.
What?
Yes, actual legislation.
What does it say?
Well, basically, sponsored by Senator Bob Harvey, created the White River Monster Refuge along the White River. So Whitey is a refugee here in Arkansas.
Why was this act needed?
I'm I'm not really sure.
Does it, so with a refugee, mm-hmm. does that mean it's like, what does that mean for Whitey?
Basically, what that means is, by the legislation that was passed, declared that the White River was a refuge for the creature, banning anyone from, and I'm quoting here, molesting, killing, trampling, or harming the Arkansas proclaimed cousin to the Scotland's Loch Ness Monster.
I don't know why I thought it was to protect people from these songs, no. But it's to protect...
They wanted to protect Whitey. Yeah, no. It's Whitey here that they are concerned about.
That's insane. The Falk mm-hmm. Monster was being hunted, but we needed to save Whitey.
It's a cousin to the Loch Ness Monster, Remy.
All the way in Arkansas. Apparently. I want to see the maps. Show me the Carfax. Show me the White River Monster facts right now.
Okay. There are some theories about what Whitey could, what people were actually seeing, basically. Okay. So let me go back up here to my notes. So basically, Professor Roy Mackel of University of Chicago, who has a PhD in biology, but is also known to be a cryptozoologist.
Not the double feature. Mm, I love that for them.
He believes that the creature was actually an elephant seal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't really know too much about those, but that, so are elephant seals popular in Arkansas?
No.
Oh.
But I mean, basically he theorizes that it could be mistaken for like basically a creature that is outside its like kind of domain.
Right. Okay.
And then people got freaked out by this thing that they don't typically see and started calling it a monster.
I mean, I guess that's not like the first. I mean, maybe somebody had like, you know, like people smuggle in like things they're not, like exotic animals and stuff, and then kind of like dump them. So like maybe that's how the elephant seal got here.
That's the only way I could think of something like that. Because people, I mean, I guess you could say people saw something. So. Yeah. Other theories about Whitey go from fantastical to scientific about it being the surviving member of extinct species. Okay. Others suggesting that it could be a large alligator gar.
Like the fish?
Yeah, like the fish. I'm not sure
how I would need to see that alligator gar.
How big the alligator gar could have gotten in 1937.
I'm going to Google a photo of the alligator gar really quick. Maybe I don't know what they look like. No, friend. No. That is definitely no. I mean, don't get me wrong. Is it a big fish?
Yeah.
Yes. Do I think that looks like a Loch Ness Monster seal creature that could maybe have legs or a horn and is also super big? No. I don't think even in the dark at the night on the bank of the river would I mistake that.
Well, other people think it might be a Florida manatee, which also...
A Florida manatee?
Apparently there was a... In the 1970s and even in 2006, a theory that it was a Memphis manatee because there was a sighting in the Mississippi Gulf area of a manatee, and it was being coined as the Memphis manatee.
It just found its way there?
Apparently, just swimming upriver, could have found its way there. That's just all theories that people had for what people could be seeing. Some people say it was a manatee because manatees do crawl, apparently, on shores.
Whitey crawling kind of scared
that
me.
That does scare me a little bit.
I think that in my head, I was like, I'm safe. I would just not go in the river. But.
You know, I don't need to be around water anymore. That's fine. You know, I don't need it. But those are only just like a few theories, but I do have like a little bit of pop culture for you since you came at me with a movie pop culture.
Oh, reference. Lots of movies, books.
Movies,
yeah.
And books. Okay. I only have the one. But I hope this like, you know, kind of makes you chuckle a little bit, but you'll never believe where the White River Monster pops up.
Please tell me.
Harry Potter.
No, he doesn't.
Yes.
No, he doesn't. Yes. Where in Harry Potter is the White River Monster?
So he's not actually in, like, the books, but Whitey is, like, in, like, the Pottermore universe type.
Like, the website. I got
like
you.
The website. So
where? Sorry.
Basically, he's mentioned, or at least the creature, not, like, Whitey by name, but the creature, an American wand maker who worked in early 20th century, used the spine of a white river monster.
Oh my god, what? Yeah. He got whitey.
Yeah, he got whitey.
What?
Apparently in this like universe there's a lot of white river monsters because he uses the spine as like the core for all of his wands. Yes. This initially apparently raised concerns over fishing and hunting the White River Monster.
This is who the legislation was for. At first I was like, this is so dumb. Who needs, like, sorry, but like, I did not see an exact reason.
Who needs this? Wizards.
Yeah, like, now I'm like, you gotta protect Whitey.
Yeah, so he apparently, there was concerned over like overfishing and over hunting Whitey. Now in this like, lore.
This act should have been a punishable offense. Get this man.
But since he was the only one who knew how to lure the creature, ultimately it didn't really have that much ecological impact. So they just kind of left him to do that in this Harry Potter world.
That's so horrible.
And it was fine like that until his death. Afterwards, you know, there were no more White River Monster spine made magical wands.
Do we know where the Arkansas General Assembly was at the time of his death?
I don't know. They were probably like, this
you
gives me an idea.
Him. Yeah, that's, you oh know? My God. That's,
so yeah, that's my pop culture for you about the White River Monster, is that it was hunted for magical wands in the wizarding world of Harry Potter.
Yeah, that at first, yeah, that's so
And of
insane.
Course it was American.
Of course, yeah. I noticed that instantly. Yeah. I was like, how do we know it's the same?
Yeah.
So not only...
So it's credible.
It's believable. Mm-hmm. I don't know about credible. Oh my goodness, that's insane. I did not know it popped up there.
Yeah, so yeah. I love these stories that we just shared today.
I can't believe today we covered the Beast of Bocky Creek from Falk and then got to go all the way to northeast to Newport, where we heard about like some pop culture moments, two scary stories, and also even like from fellow Arkansans that submitted their stories to the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
I love sitting down here with you and talking through these stories, Remy, and we will be back here next week and every week, every Friday in October. So make sure you check us out and check out arkansasonline.com for more content just like this.